I invite you to stand for our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord teaches, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Thus far the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your Word to shape us, to guide us. Give us ears to hear. Give us ready hands and feet to follow, mouths to speak. Continue your wondrous work of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ, and may our minds and our bodies be conformed to His image in all obedience. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been anxious? Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever worried about the things of life? Have you ever been anxious about tomorrow, anxious about the future, anxious about what he or she might do? Our Lord teaches us about treasures, eyes, and lords. These treasures and these eyes or these lords will either lead us to anxiety, worrying and fretting, or they will lead us to confidence and assurance. Look around, there seems to be a great deal of fretting going on. Worry about this and worry about that. Some of the things, as we look back upon what we worried about, they may seem small. Sometimes they really are small. Things we can't do anything about anyway. When we are anxious, we are a scattered people. We're all over the place, and our Lord does call this anxiety. For some, it seems to be the fabric of life. They just don't get dressed without wrapping themselves with the garment of fretting. Our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount will deal with the way we deal with life. Our Lord will deal with the way that we worry about life. And He'll mention our eating and our drinking, our bodies
and our clothing. He'll speak to us about what we can't do about it and what we ought to do about it. He'll point us to the birds. He'll actually have us measure our stature. He'll point us to the lilies and the grasses. And he will say that he is the one, even in the midst of our anxiety, our fretting, and our frothing, he is the one who is taking care of it all. So here our Lord teaches us about our treasures, our eyes, and our Lord's treasures. What do we value? What is your treasure? What do you truly value? What is your greatest treasure in life? Where do you make your investments? What is your identity? You are known by what? Eyes. Eyes. Where are you going? What's your direction? What lights us up? And Lord's, to whom do we give our service? What about our deeds, our devotion? Who is our God? Or do we have many gods? This is a passage about two treasures, two eyes, and two lords. This passage is connected to what has gone before, and what has gone before is our righteousness. Our righteousness, you'll remember, is to be both public and private. There's an aspect of our righteousness that is supposed to be out there. It is supposed to be seen. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before one another that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The Sermon on the Mount ends. We're supposed to hear the word of the Lord and do the word of the Lord. And when we do that, we're like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. Our righteousness is supposed to be public. It's supposed to be out there. But there's also a righteousness that is supposed to be private. There's a righteousness that is not to be seen. And if we go about certain aspects of our righteousness so as to be seen by that person, our Lord says, you know what? You've got your reward. Your mercy giving, your praying and your fasting, those are things that you're to do between the Lord. And if you're doing it out there so that someone will stop in their tracks and say, wow, take a picture, make a post, and applaud you for it, you've missed the point. This particular passage doesn't just connect with what has gone before. This passage connects with what is to come in the Sermon on the Mount. As our Lord addresses our treasures and our eyes and our idols, he is getting to the heart of our loyalties. It's all connected with our clamoring after the applause and favor of others. Just like with our giving and our praying and our fasting, if we want others to see us, we've got our reward. Our Lord is here speaking about our treasures and our eyes and our Lord's. If we're doing it so that everyone else is saying, way to go, you, we've missed it. But this is also connected with whose favor are we seeking? Are we seeking the favor and applause of one another? Or are we seeking the favor and the esteem of our Heavenly Father? If we are rapt and concerned with the applause of others, seeking earthly treasures, having darkened eyes, and serving the god Mammon, we will be filled with anxiety. We will be a restless people. If, however, we are those who seek the Father's favor, have clear or clean eyes, with single devotion to the Lord, we will have peace and rest. So let's look at this passage. Let's begin with two treasures. Verses 19, 20, and 21. We are flatly told about treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, and flatly told, do not lay up treasures on earth. We are supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, what do we make of this? The first thing we can say is there's some kind of contrast going on here. There's a contrast, at the very least, between treasuring that which is temporal and that which is eternal. We can make investments in that which will not last, and we may make investments in that which will last. What are treasures? Treasures include money, but our treasures are more than money. Our treasures are those things in which we seek our identity. What are your treasures? Those things where you seek your security, they are your treasures. Those are those things in which and where you find your value. They're valuable. They're your treasures. Where do I find my value? Well, I can find my treasure then. For some, this is money. And that which money can obtain. Or the esteem, the applause which comes from money. Treasures? This is about my reputation in the eyes of others. Beware of doing your righteousness before others so as to be This is about my fame before others, my significance, my recognition. Hello? The approval that I receive. How many likes or hits or comments? John Chrysostom referred to the treasures as our fondness for glory. That's right. These are our treasures because they give us security. We trust in our treasures. Our Lord mentions some things that are easily removed. They are either consumed by nature, by time, or by others. He gives some examples. They're easily taken away, gobbled up, gone. By nature, moths eat. By time, rust corrodes. Or by others, thieves break in and say, I'm taking that. And if our treasure is in that, our treasures are gone. Now we have some hint as to how we may locate our treasures. What do you treasure most? What about our acquisitions, those things we have gained, our land, our property, our accomplishment, or the opinions of others? Yes. Wealth has wings. Wealth has wings. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, stop. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For wealth certainly makes themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. And if my hope and my heart and my treasure is there and all of a sudden it's gone. Such things, things that moths eat, that rust corrodes, and that thieves take away, that reminds me of my own nature, things that are and something which is in a constant war with decay. To put my heart in that, even in myself, in my own nature, I will not have rest. Today's fashions are tomorrow's embarrassments. But I loved it then. Today's stars are tomorrow's... Where are they? Anyway. Today's must-haves are tomorrow's obsolete models. Instead, our Lord teaches us that we are to pursue what we pursue in the light of the Lord's favor. We are to lay up treasures in heaven, and this means in the full presence of God. in the full presence of God. We are to do what we do in the full presence of God, in the full awareness and the gaze of our Lord. Our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 12. There was that man busy about business, busy about building, busy about barns. But he was busy without godliness. He was busy without an eye to the presence of God. And all of a sudden, there was this. Fool, fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Have you been completely marked by your stuff? Have you pursued that without godliness? Our Lord will speak about our bodies here soon. We're all fretting about what we shall wear, what we look like, and what's happening to our bodies. But it's possible to build up our bodies without godliness as well. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you know what? Bodily exercise is profitable, but godliness is profitable in this life and in the life to come. What about your studies without godliness? What about marriage without the Lord? What about parenting without the favor of our Father? Where is our treasure? Well, it's in my ability and what I've done and what I've accomplished. We are not here told by our Lord to avoid this world and to not buy and sell and live and eat or invest and build and plan. Our Lord doesn't say to avoid that. Our Lord is teaching us to lay up such treasures in the full light of the Lord's favor, to do so according to His favor and not according to the desperate, changing favor of one another. You like this? Good. We are to live and move and have our being in Him. We are to do all that we do in the light of His gaze, for He is ever present. And He is heavenizing things, for we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are to do all we do with the Lord as our witness. Do we? Where's your treasure? Our goals, what are your goals? Our goals are often our gods. This is where I'm going. That's my God. That's where I'm heading. And by the way, you're going to see connected to this. That's where my eyes are fixed. It's my goal. That's where I'm going. Our goals are often our gods. So what are we pursuing? What we are pursuing reveals the heart of the matter. And our Lord says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. How do you find the heartbeat? Go to the treasure. Two eyes. Two kinds of eyes. Our treasure is recognizable by our eyes, by your eyes, by what we look at, by what we pay attention to. If we are constantly paying attention to the esteem and the opinion of others, then their opinion and favor is our treasure. If we are always looking at this or that, to use the common phraseology, if we are fixated upon something, that's our treasure. You have heard that the eyes are the windows to the soul. You've heard that. Our Lord here says that the eyes are the lamp to the body. What do? Lamps give direction. What we look at is giving us direction. Now, in baseball, there's such a thing called a no-look double play. Okay? In basketball, there's a no-look pass. These things happen. But usually what we're looking at is our direction. Where are you going? I'm going there. The eye is the lamp of the body. It's something like a headlamp in the dark. Here's a headlamp. dark. You pop this on your head. Wherever you're looking, that's where it is. Usually when you look at somebody else in the dark, you're going, oh, stop looking. It's too bright. It's like headlights on a car on a dark road. They shine the light on what's ahead. If our treasure is to seek the Father's pleasure, laying up treasures according to His presence, His favor, then we will have clear eyes, bright lights, bright eyes, clear direction. And you know what will happen? It will illuminate the whole body. It will clean up the whole body. Titus chapter 1, Paul wrote to Titus and said this, to the pure, all things are pure. You know what? They're pure of mind, of heart, of eye, of deed. And you know what they do? They look at things in a pure way. To the pure, all things are pure. That's what they expect. Paul goes on. But unto those that are defiled, impure, and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Two kinds of eyes. There's the clean eye and the unclean eye, the impure eye, the bright eye and the dirty eye. If your eye is clear or good or healthy or single, your whole body will be full of light. However, if your headlights are burned out, if you are treasuring that which is filthy, that darkness is deep, and it will invade your whole body. Where you are going is revealed by your eyes. That's your direction. Go ahead and ask somebody to watch what you watch. Go ahead. I want you to keep an eye on me. I want you to keep an eye on my eyes. What do you look at? What do you pay attention unto? Young men, young ladies, what are you visually fixated upon? What are your eyes consuming, gobbling up? Are those things which your eyes are gobbling up, are they gobbling you up? Do your eyes control you, or do you control your eyes? What are your treasures? Your treasures will inform your eyes, and your eyes will reveal your treasures. From Proverbs chapter 4, son, children, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it. For out of your heart spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Note, you have to look. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Two treasures, earthly or heavenly, that is, treasures of others or treasures from the Father. What or whom are you trying to serve? What is your identity? Where is your security? Two eyes, one light, the other dark, and both invade the whole person. Your eyes reveal your treasure. Now, two lords. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, and the Greek word for master is kurios. It's the word Lord. No one can serve two lords. This isn't either or. There is no playing around here. One master or the other, one Lord or the other, you cannot split your allegiance. Jesus does not say, you know, I've got some counsel for you here. It wouldn't be the best choice to split your allegiance. It wouldn't be the wisest course of action to have two masters. Jesus says it's impossible. Twice, Jesus says it's impossible. First, at the beginning of this, he says, no one can serve two lords. Then, just in case someone thinks that they're the exception, he says, you cannot serve God and Mammona. Mammon is not merely money, as the ESV has translated it. Mammon is more than money. It includes money. Whatever it is, it's presented as an alternative to the Lord God. It's presented as an alternative Lord, an idol. If it is money, you could attach the word Almighty in front of it and call it the Almighty Dollar. But it could be the Almighty Acquisition or the Almighty Desire, the Almighty View of Wealth. Notoriety. Acknowledgement, anything that competes with the one true God. The accumulated stuff of our lives, those things which have demands upon us. Have our lives become defined by those things possessed and which now possess us? Dr. Peter Leithart, in referring to mammon, says wealth can become our master, dictating how we spend our time, our talents, our leisure, energy. Paul calls this covetousness, and he calls that covetousness idolatry. Two lords, after two treasures, two eyes. So let's summarize this. Our allegiance to the king is shown by what we treasure, and by whose favor we seek. Whose eye are we trying to catch? Our allegiance is known and shown through our eyes, by what we are looking at, whom we are looking at, and our allegiance cannot be split. A few final points. Our Lord's teaching here is clear on two treasures. Which one? Two eyes, what kind? Two lords, whom? Our Lord's teaching is clear, but this does not mean we are not supposed to live in this world. We can't read these verses and go, oh, you know what, I'm just checking out. We are to live in this world, which belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We're to live in this world in a certain way, as citizens of the kingdom, as those who seek to honor the crown. Our Lord's teaching here does not mean that we reject the world or the stuff of the world as if the stuff of the world is dirty or yucky. Our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 8 says, the Lord is the one who gives wealth. Use wealth to His glory. Why is it there? Why have you received any gift? It's to honor the crown, rather than to honor me, or to make other people honor me. We still plant and eat and clothe ourselves. We plan and build and labor. We still live and die. We do all that we do in the full knowledge that the earth is the Lord's. We are the Lord's, and He has the ultimate claim upon us. And by the way, our deeds may look very similar to the deeds of those who do not belong to the Lord and King. We may be doing many of the same things, but we do them for vastly different reasons. I'm not doing them for my glory, I'm doing them for His glory. I'm not even doing this for your glory, I'm doing this for His glory. We may be doing many of the same things that those who do not belong to Jesus. Another way to consider this is we may be traveling at the same speed limit, although we are doing so on different roads. We do not do this to receive the praise and applause of others. We do this for the honor of our Lord. You know what this does? This frees us from the enslavement of greed and covetousness, such things that will keep us out of the kingdom. Jesus says his kingdom citizens do not act that way. They're not idol worshipers of covetousness. They're not idol worshipers of greed. Earthly treasures always lead to anxiety because we cannot control the future. Heavenly treasures lead to peace because we seek to please the one who controls the future. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, cause your peace to rest upon us. Cause your word to shape our lives. May we be those who seek treasure under your gaze and for your favor. May our eyes be pure and clean. And may you, in this, reveal your work in our hearts. And Lord, may our service to you be without question and without compromise. Continue your wondrous work among us, men and women and children, for we bear your name. Through Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said,